the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Hello.
We are in a big one. We're in a very silly mood.
Oh, good.
Silliness aligns perfectly with who we are.
Yes, it does.
In silliness, there's nothing serious going on. In serious, it's just fun and joy and ease and allowing. In allowing, everything works out perfectly. So there's only 2 states of being, allowing and resisting. In resisting, you're just assuming things aren't going well. You're just assuming things are serious. You're just assuming there are consequences. You're just assuming things could go wrong. In allowing, you're assuming things could go right. You're assuming everything is working out. You're assuming fun leads to energy, leads to acceptance, leads to interest, leads to passion, leads to the unfolding of all your true desires. So you could assume that things aren't going to work out, but you don't know that. Or you could assume that things are going to work out, and possibly you don't know that either. But if you've listened to us and heard what we had to say and understand how the system of physical reality really works, you can pretty much have faith and confidence that the system is designed for you to live the life you intended to live. Now, is that life just going to be easy and all, you know, calm and nothing much going on and not expansive? No, of course not. You, as masters in this, that's you here on this call live with us now, and you who have somehow found us, who have reached the vibration of us, you are masters, all of you. And the only reason you could ever be to this high vibration is if you were masters. And as masters, you don't come in to play the easy life. If you did, you'd be a fish. You'd be a blade of grass. You wouldn't be an advanced human. Right? So you chose a life. Come in fully believing in the illusion of reality. Fully immersing yourselves in families that cause you to adopt limiting beliefs about who you were so that you could come to a new realization of who you were. Now, what's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of feeling that you're unworthy, believing you're not good enough, feeling you need to be different than you are in order to get love? What's the benefit of coming into that and then realizing who you really are and then coming to be who you really are and then coming to understand who you really are? Well, the two go hand in hand, because if you were not put into a position of not believing in your worthiness, you could either go through your entire life resisting and struggling, or you could go through your entire life trying to figure it out. And by trying to figure out and having a desire to figure this out and having this belief that you are worthy and the belief that you're unworthy at the same time, that desire launched you on trajectory where you found us, or you would have found someone, some other creature that could have brought you to this awareness of who you really are. And in doing that, you have really achieved what you intended to achieve. You've really explored reality in a way. You've found the key to living in a new approach to life. You've found the key to how this universe works, how the system works. And imagine living the rest of your life knowing how the system works. Being a being of love, making your decisions, actions, words, and thoughts based in love instead of being based in fear. The difference between a decision based in love, and I think it should be obvious by now. We think that you should see that when your own decisions or your own actions come from a place of fear, they tend to move you in this direction that is trying to get you out of this emotion rather than trying to process this emotion. So if you look at any decision If you see that it's based in fear or based in love, you can know the motivation for that decision. You can understand where this is leading you, why you're doing this, why is it coming from this point, and where is it leading you? And so decisions or thoughts based in fear are inspired from a low emotional place that resonates with fear, and decisions and thoughts resonate with love. So as a being of love, knowing what you know now, you can effectively manifest anything you desire that's based in love. Now, having said that, what is it that you desire? Do you desire being loved, or do you desire expressing love? Do you desire being admired, or do you desire fully engaging yourself in your passions with no need for that? One, desire to be loved, the desire for security, the desire for money in the bank, those desires come from this feeling of insecurity, this feeling of trying to feel secure, of trying to feel secure in an insecure world. Isn't that interesting? That you're living lives as humans in fear because the environment seems to bring up fear, seems to be full of fearful things. It seems as if things could go wrong, right? However, in reality, nothing can ever go wrong. Nothing can ever be wrong. You're a being of love, and every single thing you attract is based in love, even if you don't think so, even if you think it's wrong, even if it brings up fear. You don't want to avoid fear. You want to be able to process fear. So this is a very advanced conversation, because being who you are, knowing what you know, coming from where you came from, and being a master but not feeling like a master, comparing yourself to others instead of comparing yourself to who you were a year ago, living by society's rules rather than living by your own rules, believing what you've been told all your life until just a few short years ago or months ago, as the case may be, and now trying to move to a completely new approach to life that foregoes everything you thought before, everything you learned before. Everything you learned before was based in fear. Well, not everything, but vast majority. Everything you are learning now, everything that we are teaching you, the perspectives that we are bringing forth are all based in love. There is nothing but love in everything we say. In that love, it resonates somewhere within you. That's why, as unbelievable as what we say must seem to some people, you, it seems to make sense, because what we say is based in love. And in love, you can understand the core truth of the message. Now, you won't always believe it, and you won't always go with it, and you will tend to revert back to your prior training, as we will say. And in that training, that conditioning, that process of growing in a family and learning to behave in ways in order to maintain love, you build up momentum, and that momentum is carried forth. So it's not so easy to change it. We understand that. That's fine. But if you can look back and say to yourself, I understand why this happened now. This makes sense. I understand where this is going now. I don't have to be fearful. I understand that this is always going to work out for me, so I don't have to worry. I understand that I can do no wrong, so it's not such a big deal. I understand that I can just be silly. And in being silly, I am actually being who I authentically am. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've been experiencing everything that you're talking about. And what I'm finding is that, like this weekend with my mom and Wendy and the boys, it was my first time really being who I am now in the fullest, well, in a fuller sense, in front of my mom, sort of in this, and really practicing and like being open about my new approach to life. And what I found was, like, I have a new default. Those old fears, because I've been observing all these things that happen that seem unwanted, that have seemed unwanted, and seeing them from an observer standpoint and then seeing how they happen for me. So now when these things come up, it's easier. The old stuff still comes up, but I have a new default. So it's like there's the urge to what my old default would be, where when Mark says something about how, ask my mom if she knows how loved I am by so many people and how many people value what I have to say or whatever. And she was surprised. And I, just because she didn't realize, I guess I've been downplaying this. I've been making myself smaller in terms of my role in all of this. And so that my instinct was to revert to fear. And I even did like say something that made myself smaller, but then caught it in the moment and like appreciated the moment. And I feel like in practicing things like that, like I'm having a new default to where my automatic reaction, the old stuff is still there, but my reaction is this love-based approach where I can receive it, where I can be love. So I don't know.
So when you can even see it after the moment, that is an enormous step forward. Yeah. The fact that you can sort of watch yourself outside yourself, that you can understand the growth that you've had and where you came from, and understand that who you are being small in front of your mother has come from a lifetime of you believing her to be superior to you, as mm-hmm. many children do. Mm-hmm. And now, as you're coming into your own and realizing that, in essence, there is no superiority, there's just equality, and that you actually know more than she does about how the universe works, and that you can step into your role in all of this in front of her without fearing the loss of love. In fact, what's more likely to happen is that she can see you in a new light because you see yourself in a new light, and then she can move to where you are and respond to you as you are now, because the vibration of you changes her perception of you.
Right.
So that as you become more comfortable with being yourself in front of your mother, as you are comfortable with being yourself in front of this group, you can receive love from your mother just as you receive love from this group. You have no problem receiving love from this group,
yeah.
being who you are, but you have been conditioned to be who you are not in front of your mother.
Mm.
So now, being who you are in front of your mother, you think, well, that's never going to work. She's never going to love me for who I really am. She doesn't even know who I really am. I've been playing this game for so long, being who I am not, in order to get her love, that it can't possibly work that I can be who I am and still receive her love. But you will find that being who you are
yeah.
is way more lovable than being who you are not.
Yeah, she just, like, she proved to me. She helped prove, she, yeah. I saw this weekend how irrational my fears of losing her love have been all this time. And I just had this, right before this call, I went to get coffee and I was sitting at the coffee shop and I had this big shift realizing that, like, my fear of losing love is a result of, like, me seeing my own withholding love from people when they, you know, show me who they really are. And so I haven't fully unpacked it yet, but, like, I was just thinking about all these people who, you know, I'm afraid, you know, the people where I do still act inauthentically and why I act that way around them. And then seeing how it's really easy for me to love strangers unconditionally, you know, and see who they really are and see their fears and allow both to be perfect in my eyes. And the more emotionally invested I get in somebody, the more chance there is of me losing their love, then I, like, it's harder for me to, it, yeah. It's more of a practice of loving them and unconditionally. And I think that's what my fear of losing love results from.
Certainly that a stranger offers less value or strings attached or right. attachment. And therefore, if they don't like you, well, it's no loss. But someone who you're deeply invested in, such as your mother, then her loss of love becomes more significant.
Right.
And therefore, you want to tread carefully. Yet by being who you are not, are you really being loved for you anyway? You're just the version that you're projecting is being loved, but that's not you. And that just shows you how the perception of the other person has nothing to do with anything, does it? Because yeah. if they love you for this person that you're not really are, then they're loving some other person. They're not loving you. And if they're loving you for who you are, then that's great. And if they don't love you for who you are, well, that's fine too. Because in essence, you don't really care if they love you or not. All you care about is being able to love them.
Right.
Because you have right. no control over whether they love you or not, because you can't control their perception of you.
Yeah.
Because they have their own fears. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'm figuring out is, like, when any, I don't know, it's a new shift, but what I'm seeing now is that those people where I recognize that happening within me, I recognize that I'm being somebody other than who I really am. In those moments, I am focusing all my love on me and on them, you know, just focusing yeah. on, like, flowing love to me that I am perfect, flowing love to them
right.
that they are perfect. And that for me seems like the path. It's what you just introduced this call with, but, like, the path to integrating or, like, that fear of loss of love. Like, it just seems so irrelevant and silly to me now, the idea of losing somebody's love because of this realization that I just had, that I've had a million times before and will probably have a million times again, but that I'm here to love. I'm here to give my love regardless of how other people are being, regardless of how I'm being.
So you're here to give your love. Are you here to receive love?
I think that there's receiving and the giving. Like, yes, I'm here. I think that in giving, I receive it. And when I give it, it comes back, but I don't need to receive it. Like, as if I'm receiving it from
We would
inside.
Say that the love you give is the love you receive from yourself.
Right. Because when I give it to other people, I see them as extensions of me. I see everybody.
Yes.
I mean, in this, they are them. But when I look at them, the easiest way for me to love people is to see our similarities, see what parts of me are represented in them, because they are my mirrors. And so I can appreciate them for who they are as their own unique version of all that is or whatever. But yeah. So in loving them, I see it as loving me.
Is this just an exercise in futility?
Is it
just saying that I'm just going to love everyone no matter how they are, and if they're obnoxious, I love them anyway.
We kind of talked about that a little bit. Remember about my desires versus another person's desires? What I want is may not be what they want. And how do you reconcile that? When you're just here, do you just love it? But then you want to honor, how do you honor yourself loving everybody when, you know, by loving myself means I'm going to go to the beach, but, oh, Tom doesn't want to go to the beach. So how does that all play in with this scenario?
So you can love Tom for not wanting to go to the beach.
Mm-hmm. But still go to the beach?
If that's what you want to do.
Okay.
But you might not want to do that if Tom doesn't want to do that. You might prefer to be with him. Gotcha. But you can still love him for the fact that he doesn't want to go to the beach. Instead of trying to control him and saying, making some statement to make him feel guilty or to make him do what you want to do or to make him wrong for not wanting to go to the beach.
Well, almost the flip side of that, when somebody else is trying to project something back to you of their fears, when you're acting out of love but still trying to honor your desires and their fears are conflicting with your desires.
Your fears are conflicting with your desires. Mm. So what your fear would be was that if I go to the beach anyway, then Tom's going to be mad at me.
Oh, okay.
And so
if I truly wanted, this is just an analogy. If I truly wanted to go to the beach, then I should just go to the beach and love him for not wanting to go to the beach.
And love yourself for going to the beach.
Yeah. Even and honoring my desire.
So that you do what you do because you do it, not because you're afraid that someone else will get upset.
Gotcha.
Because you're not in control of how they perceive things and you're not in charge of their happiness or any of that. And you can make things less fearful for them, but you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and you can do everything you want to do. And sometimes by not going to the beach when you want to go to the beach, that's a controlling mechanism. By being someone who you are not in order to get love, that's a control mechanism.
Mm.
Right. So you be who you authentically are, do what you authentically want to do. And think about the fears that come up in either doing or not doing what you want to do. Think about the control that comes up in either doing or not doing what you want to do. Well, everything is a play of fear and love, of control, of a love, that sort of thing. And by understanding who you authentically are, who you really are, you can make decisions and choices based on love. Now, sometimes those choices will be towards what you want to do, and not what someone else wants to do, or might seem to be against what they want to do. But if you're inspired to do something out of love, then you do what you're inspired to do, and it'll all work out for the best for you and for everyone else as well. Because you could not be inspired out of love to do something if it wasn't in your best interest. It wouldn't be possible. If you're in a good place, if you're in a high emotional state of being, and you receive an inspiration to go to the beach, then if Tom wants to go, that's fine. And if Tom does not want to go, then that is for a purpose. Because there might be something that you receive from going to the beach by yourself that you would not receive if he was there. And by you worrying that he's not going or having some concern or fear, the fear that he'll think you're doing something without him or whatever, you're just not paying attention to what the universe is offering you. Do you see what we're saying here?
Yeah.
That the inspiration is pure from a place of love. And if that inspiration is based in love, then you can always move forward to the next step of that inspiration. And if you are worried that here I am with Tom on his day off, and I have this inspiration to go to the beach, I should invite him. I should, right? Uh-huh. If you have the should, it's this fear. There's this thing based in fear. Mm. And so you ask him to come, and he says, no, I don't want to go. And he may even say, let's do something else. And you're saying, no, you'd have to say, no, I really have this inspiration to go to the beach right now, and I think I have to go, right? Mm. And so then you just go. Now, he's probably getting inspired to say, great, I'm glad she's going. It gives me a chance to do this or that.
Gotcha.
Right?
So just checking in with yourself to see where these feelings are coming from, if they're coming from a place of fear or love.
Exactly. Okay. Checking in. Taking the time to make a conscious analysis uh-huh. of the motivation of these ideas. Did this idea, this inspiration, come from a place of love? Was I feeling good? Was I happy? Was I enthusiastic? Does this idea align with who I really am? Or does this idea come from a bad feeling place, and does it align with some sort of fear that I might have? Is it based in insecurity or lack or something like that?
Hmm. Okay, no. Makes sense. Thank you.
Excellent. Who's next on the chopping block?
I was going to say, you asked that question, like, is this expressing of love an exercise in futility? For me. Right.
Because if you express your love, what are you going to get out of it?
It feels good. I was thinking about it because I was thinking about, why am I doing it? Am I doing it for other people? Because for a long time I did that. I expressed love to other people for their sake, you know, or what I thought was love to other people for their sake. Mm-hmm. And then I even expressed love to myself, you know, because I thought, oh, I should love myself. And so what I'm realizing is that the more time I spend operating from this love-based place where I'm just loving me regardless of how I'm being, I'm loving other people regardless of how they're being, which is just accepting, then it just feels good. And everything is so much easier. It takes practice, you know, but like it feels so much better than the old approach where I was thinking that I was wrong or thinking that somebody else was wrong. When I can stay in this place of like, I'm right, they're right, we're all just here doing what we're doing. This is all about the experience. This may not seem like what I want, but I know that everything that happens for me is to lead me closer to what I want. So it feels good. No, it doesn't seem futile to me.
Exactly. So you express your love because that's who you are, a being of love.
Yeah.
And to not express love is simply to be in resistance of who you really are. And the reason you would not express love is because you have some fear. Fear that you will be seen as unworthy, or fear that you won't get love from others, or fear of whatever. Be taken advantage of, or all these myriads of fears. But expressing your love is simply who you are. And expressing love is nothing more at all than pure acceptance of yourself and everyone else. Seeing people as if they were perfect, because in essence, that's what they really are. They are perfection, because where they are in their lives and what they're doing in their lives is perfect for them in that time. Now, it's perfect for them. It may not be perfect from your point of view, but that's just because they're different. They're going through different things. They're at different stages of development, and they came to explore more different aspects of physical reality.
Yeah.
And so from your perspective, they seem different, or they seem similar, but no one's similar. Everyone's different anyway. And how they are is based on their mix of limiting and beneficial beliefs.
Right. Your, I guess, explanation of love as just being acceptance, that's what's helped me like love people. Because before I had this idea of love where it was like, oh, I have to do all these things. I have to show them that they are loved.
Right.
But like the idea that all I have to do is just accept them and allow them to be who they are. And I don't even have to like them all the time, you know, and I can be aware that like judgment comes up, but I can be aware that that's just all that it is, fear, you know, and then just accept them. And that is love, and accept me. And it just, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
And couldn't you extend that a little bit further by just allowing them to be who they truly are, and you're just allowing yourself to be you are, like you're being neutral or centered.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is you don't always have to be like, oh, you know, like you're out there, because that's a little overwhelming. You can just be centered and know your truth, and that you are a being of love, and allow them to swirl around you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And if you weren't a vibrational match to them, They could not exist in your reality.
Yeah.
So there's something for you in them. Mm. And it could be a change in opinion. It could be a new insight. It could be a new idea. Mm-hmm. All these people in your life, whether there's millions of them or five of them, they're all offering you something.
Yeah.
And generally, they're offering you this mirror of who you're being, this reflection of your vibration, which is really true, the conditions in general anyway. But the people offer you more specific things. Like your house is an extension of how you feel about yourself, but it can only show you so much. The people can show you so much more. Mm-hmm. Kyla's mother could show her so much more in that weekend than anything else in the conditions of that weekend, right? So imagine that Kyla's mother wasn't around during that weekend. It would have been a completely different weekend. Mm-hmm. So how was the inspiration to bringing her? How did that come along?
My kid's dad, he had some fears about the trip. I told him that I was intending to take the boys to the ocean. And he had some fears and wanted to control things and told me that I was not allowed to go unless I followed this set of conditions. And I knew that I was, as per the agreement, you know, that he had no say. And he laid out these conditions. And so I said, okay, because it was a couple months beforehand. I said, okay. And so he, I don't know if his fears were eased or not, but I got less feedback from him about it. But he did keep, one of the conditions was that my mom had to come with us. And I had had the idea to invite her, you know, because we've talked about traveling with the boys this summer and it hadn't happened yet. But I hadn't invited her. And then he kept asking me about it and asking me about it. And there was part of me that had some resistance to him, to feeling controlled. You know, but it reminded me other instance when we were negotiating things and you told me if the message had come from God or an angel or something, if somebody had shown up and said, here, you know, don't do this or do this instead, you would receive it because it comes from this one source, you know, you have resistance to it. So I thought about that. And so I invited her and told her that she could come or not come, that my ex had laid out these things, but that I was intending to go regardless. And I would love it if she just came and vacationed with us. So she did. And it was, yeah, perfect.
And in that happening, which is interesting how it happened.
Yeah.
And this was actually on your ex's part, an inspiration based in fear. It's still worked out to your benefit.
Yeah.
Because in this happening, you got to see a different aspect of how your attachment to love from your mother is different to your attachment from love from your friends and love from strangers. And how you can be authentically yourself in all conditions.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things just happen to work out.
It is. What are the odds?
Alette, what is happening in Rotterdam?
Everything's cool in Rotterdam. We have good weather and... The discussion, it reminds me about my neighbor I wrote about in the one of the last questions. She has attached herself to me some 8 years ago when my partner died, and I get rid of her. and she has a heart of gold, and she means so well. But she's very controlling, dominant. She gets angry at me if I don't do what she wants me to do. And as soon as she says, shall we, or do what you like to, and no. I have to make up excuses. No, I have to go to my mom, or I have to go to do this. And then 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought, maybe I should start saying, okay, and yes, let's do that, and let's see what happens. And well, it's getting better. So.
You can look at this relationship and see that the only difference between a fun, comfortable, easy relationship or a difficult one where you're trying to find excuses not to be with her is resistance. If you just went with the flow of whatever she was doing and agreed with whatever she was saying, and we don't mean this to the extreme, but now and then, or certainly if you were at dinner with her.
Yeah.
if you were at dinner with her and she was being negative or saying these things that she wanted you to do, you could just agree. Just say, sure, I agree with that. Because why do you care what she thinks about you? For instance, if she said something that you thought was outlandish, it was crazy, and you wanted to say your own opinion that was contradictory to hers, it would only be because you wanted her to perceive you in a way that was different than her. So in other words, you'd want to make yourself right and make her wrong. And yeah. people do this all the time, but there's no benefit to that because all that is conflict. And you could choose not to be with her. That's fine. But isn't it fun, or would it be interesting to explore this idea and see how much you can take and how much you can accept and how much you can stand of this person who seems to be so different than you, where you are light and bubbly and optimistic and engaged in all these things? Why don't you start telling her about what you're doing? You're part of this one-on-one process that you're in a podcast that's listened to by millions and millions of people every week, that you're known around the world, unbelievably famous. So the funny thing is that you're not telling her who you are, but you're sort of resisting who she is. Mm-hmm. And you're not telling her who you really are because you think that she's not going to agree with who you are. Well, you're not agreeing with who she is, even though she's telling you who she really is. But make sure that you know that she's being that way because she thinks she's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's always right.
She thinks she's right.
Yeah.
She is for her. For her, she's right. Because her path is a completely different path than your path. And in her path, this is one life that's leading to another life, that's leading to another life, that'll eventually lead to some place where she gets to understand where she sort of had the false idea of how life is to be lived. Now, where she is now is a accumulation of hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of lives. And she's gotten this far. That's as far as she's ever come before, and it's very far. To be living on Earth during this time of awakening, everyone has come very far, every person. No matter how unenlightened you think someone is, they are really on a very high level to be here now, especially if they're being born right around now too. But if she's older and she's made it this far, and she's lived through this and she's gotten this set of limiting beliefs and she's sort of mired in this negativity, when she makes her transition, it's all going to make sense to her. The culmination of all her lives will all make sense to her. And then from that, she'll choose the next life and go on to the next level. But her interacting with you, her being in your vibration and you being in her vibration, that says a lot about her. She's not that far away as you think she might be.
No.
All of you, if you, all the people know, if they've attracted you into their life, then they're one step removed from this information. That's very close.
Yeah.
That's without getting to it directly. So your perception of people, well, just think of them in a new way, that you are here understanding how the laws of the universe work and why you're here and why you chose to came here and what you're here to do. And then the people in your life are just one step removed from that. But they are a vibrational match to you. And so they are not that far away from understanding what you understand. And that they're there to remind you of how far you've come.
Mm.
Which is nice, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
they're also here to remind you of where you are yet to go. And the wobbles you still have in your vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going on in Rotterdam?
Well, nothing special. I'm still looking for my cats. I'm waiting for a cat or two.
Ah.
Nobody has rung the doorbell yet. So in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Let's imagine that you want to manifest a cat. Okay. So that's not too hard, is it? Because cats, I understand, in Rotterdam are less than $1,000 each.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you could go out and manifest a cat right away.
Yes. I could.
But you're not doing that, and why not?
Because I want the cats to find me. Huh. I want to be a match like our other cats. They found us at the shelter, but they came to us.
Okay. So how would that work then? What do you think will happen?
So I will go to the shelter. That's in a couple of weeks. I have 2 weeks off, so I intend to go to the shelter.
Okay. So that is an idea that's inspired from a good feeling place, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You aren't worried about anything. You don't feel an emptiness that you're trying to fulfill. You have this desire about how nice it would be to have a cat or two around the house and how it'd be nice to have the company. And so that's a position of love. And then you have an inspiration. You have this, well, in 2 weeks, I have time off and I can take my mother and I have this show. shelter in mind. And my next step is simply to walk in that shelter. I'm not attached to any outcome. If the cat is there, I will know it. And mm-hmm. if the cats are not there, I will know that also.
Yeah.
And the next inspiration will come to me, because you might go to that shelter, the cats aren't there, but someone might hear that you're looking for a cat and approach you later. And that will be the right cat. But that's how manifestations work. So you don't, because you could right now, after this call or in the morning or whatever on the weekend, is go to any old shelter and pick up any old cat just to get something done.
Yeah.
Just to fill in your own grid. But here you are moving from a place of feeling good and into receiving inspiration and then acting on that inspiration just to the next step without having any attachment to any outcome.
Yes.
Perfect. Excellent.
Okay.
Then we claim that you are 100% perfect. You're doing everything right. You are certified as a perfect human. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Can we go back to the love thing?
Yes, we love talking about love. Love is our favorite subject. Love is all there is.
So we're here to give love, and the receiving doesn't matter.
You're not giving anything. Giving implies that you're taking from yourself and giving something of yourself, or moving something from you to someone else. What you're doing is expressing love. You're a being of love expressing your love. And you express that in total and complete non-judgmental acceptance of the person in front of you.
Okay, but receiving love as well feels... Archie just got up and I put him back to bed.
Yes.
I said, love you, Archie. And he said, came back and went, love you, mama. And it felt so good.
Because it was a sign of security for you.
Right.
It was a sign that as of this moment, you still own him. Right. He's still good. There's nothing wrong. You know, it's like having $1 million in the bank and then looking at your bank account the next day, it's still there. It feels good because it's still there. You think it would be bad if he said, I don't love you. You think that would mean something about you. Since he says, I love you. Love you, then you can feel good. It's your excuse to feel good, and that's fine. It's your excuse to feel good. But if you said, love you, Archie, and he said, hate you, mom, you could still feel good. It shouldn't and wouldn't make any difference to you, right? Because you're not here to be loved. That is a desire based in fear. You are here to love. That is a desire based in love. You are here to express your love unconditionally. And so that if he said, I hate you, mom, then you could say, I still love you. And you could mean it. I love you more. Then you could be, and you could be silly about it, right? And he'd be being silly anyway, too. So it wouldn't matter. So whether he loves you or not is irrelevant, because you aren't in control of his fears or his whatever's going on in his perception of reality. All you can do is unconditionally love him and everyone else and have no attachment. Now, if you had an attachment, if you said, love you, Archie, and he said, hate you, mom, and then you felt bad, you'd sink to a low emotional state of being, and then you would have ideas and thoughts that don't resonate with who you really are, that resonate with this fear and low emotional state. And so you might say something like, don't say that to your mother. That's wrong. That's bad. You're being bad. And you would have an attempt to control him or to coerce him into loving you or to modifying his behavior into loving you. And you would never want to do that because that's not based in love. That is not a true desire. That's a false desire. By him behaving in a way that allows you to feel good is asking him to be different than he is. You want him to be exactly as he is. You don't really care. Now, certainly there's times where it's inappropriate for him to misbehave, and that's fine. But just be aware of what's actually happening within you. Be aware that there's fear going on within you. But be aware that you're trying to control him in order to make yourself feel safe and secure. If you can give up this idea of needing to feel safe and secure, of needing to feel loved, then you can more easily express your love, which means you can more easily accept others for who they are and how they're being. And if it's easier to accept others, well, then it's easier to express love. And that is a cycle of momentum that is built. Does that make sense to you? It's tricky as a parent because you are primarily concerned with the safety and welfare of your children. But if you worry about anything, then you are inclined to do things that are not in your best interest or their best interest. You are inclined to try and control them. And you sort of think that if you don't control them, then they're just going to die. They'll never make it without you, right? Okay. If they don't eat their vegetables and eat and sleep and do all this stuff, then they're just never going to make it, right? If they don't get everything they desire, then they're just never going to make it. But in reality, the less hands-on you are, the more they are allowed to be who they truly are. And even if that is a terrorist, right, that is who they truly are. And it's not you that made them a terrorist or made them an accountant or made them whatever. It's them coming out as who they truly are. And sometimes you don't want them to be who they really are. Yeah. Sometimes you want them to be who they are not because you think who they are reflects on you as a parent. And this is true of all parents. Who their children are being, how well they behave in public, how good grades they get, means that you're a good parent because you're attached to your identity as a parent. You think it means something about you, but it doesn't. It means nothing about you. If they're brilliant, well, that has nothing to do with you. If they're not brilliant, well, that has nothing to do with you either. If they want to be a mechanic, that doesn't have anything to do with you. If they want to be a bank robber, that has nothing to do with you. It's just who they are. Now, obviously, terrorism and bank robberies are conducted out of fear, so hopefully they won't be fearful of them to do those things. But if you can allow them to process this fear on their own and be who they truly are without you trying to control who they are because you're worried about how you're perceived or how you're loved by them or whatever it is, then you can ease so much resistance in the family dynamic that you can just sort of roll with it. And you might say, well, this is just an irresponsible way to raise a child. But it's actually the natural way to raise a child. Because in a natural world, free from the pressures and fears of your society, you would allow children to go with the flow of whatever they are inspired to do in the moment. Because all you would do is help them see things from a new perspective so that they could more easily get back into alignment. That's all we're doing with you right now, is we're helping you see things from another perspective so that it's easier for you to be who you really are and to maintain your alignment so that you can receive inspiration to do things that will take you to the next level. So isn't that interesting? All right, let's start at the beginning. If you are going around all day long full of fear, then you are not receiving the inspiration to go to the next level. You came here with certain intentions to explore physical reality. You do it in a highly limited way because you have a lot of fears. Well, that's part of the game because you built a challenging game for yourselves. But you want to expand, and expansion breeds more expansion. More expansion, more expansion, more expansion. It doesn't really matter, but you would like to expand as much as you humanly can. You would like to reduce the limits as much as possible. And so by being focused more on love and acceptance and less on fear and resistance, you move to the next level, to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. By taking your attention away from what other people think of you or your attachment to how you're perceived by others, you become more of who you really are. And in that, your limitations drop away. Because the more you're in alignment, the more inspiration you receive, and the less fears you have, the more times you'll act on that inspiration in the moment. So when you hear from Archie that you're loved, you can use that as an excuse to feel good, and it does feel good. But when he is, let's say, hurt, when he injures himself somehow, you use that as an excuse also to feel bad. And by doing that, you don't have access to the best ideas, the best thoughts, the best words, and the best actions, right? So you just are either being in alignment and having access to this intelligence that will allow you to do what needs to be done in the moment perfectly so that you can explore reality the way you came here to explore, or you can be in fear and cut yourself off from all of that. So it's really an amazing thing. When you think about it, you have this choice to make, this higher perspective or this lower perspective. And in the higher perspective, you have access to something that's so beneficial, it's beyond words. So powerful, it can't be described. There's access to infinite intelligence and the power of the universe. And when you're in fear, you just cut that off. So we tell you to focus on feeling good and choosing these perspectives that allow you to be empowered so that you can retain that access. And in doing so, everything you want manifests. And in not doing so, you just build this momentum towards choosing the limited perspective. You know, when you feel fear and worry, you project the worst possible outcome into the future. by default instead of projecting the best possible outcome, right? Why? You have a choice. You could say, this is going to be bad, and this is why it's bad. Or you could say, seems like this is a problem, but possibly it could work out like this, right? You have that choice. Do you make that choice? No, you always make the choice where you're going towards the worst possible outcome. So if Archie said, hate you, Mom, you could say, oh, isn't that great? Isn't that interesting? What's going to come of this? He's sort of rebelling right now. I wonder why that's happening. You can adopt this stance of silly curiosity and silliness and say, it doesn't mean anything about me if he hates me, right? It's all about him. I didn't do anything wrong. I can't do anything wrong. There is no wrong, right? Does that make you feel great?
Yeah. And it good. Will be when it he should. Moans me tomorrow morning, I'll feel great.
if he what tomorrow morning?
Moans at me. Archie moans at me from the minute he gets up every morning.
Yeah, then you'll feel great because you are not attached to his opinion of you. His opinion of you does not define you. Because if it did define you, then you would act differently than who you are only so that you can keep his opinion positive, right? If you were really attached to him loving you, which you really are, then you would be different than who you really are in front of him. And that's no help to him at all. That's just a control mechanism to keep him loving you. And then when he doesn't love you, your first inclination is to make him wrong so that he will act as if he is loving you. But that will just be an act. It won't mean anything. So you can totally let everyone be as they're being and not be attached to their opinion of you, not care about what they think of you, no matter who they are. And obviously, family is a lot more entrenched and important, but it's no more important than anyone else. You are no more connected with your family than you are with the butcher. If you know the butcher, that person's equally attached to you, eternally. Do you know your butcher by name?
No.
No, okay.
Probably so not. As a parent, though, when you say like your child gets hurt, trying to feel good about that is very difficult. So I like to go to a place of acceptance and allowing and figure out what it's for.
That's the same thing.
For me. Okay.
That's just okay. That's the same thing as feeling good. Okay. It's not feeling bad. Right. And the reason you want your child to get well, to be cured, to whatever, is only one thing. Do you know what it is?
Well, I'm going to think you're going to tell me it's to feel so I can feel good.
Right. So if you can feel good anyway, or if you can feel not bad anyway, you've done the work. Mm-hmm. Right. So your child attracted this injury because it's a manifestation. Mm-hmm. And if he attracted an injury, it's for him. Did any of your kids get hurt when they were younger?
Yeah. And so how does a young...
So let's look at one example. Pick one example out of the air.
A broken wrist.
Okay. Who got the broken wrist?
That was Dylan.
And how did Dylan get a broken wrist? What was he doing?
Trying to jump from tree A to tree B.
Okay, excellent. Good.
Bye.
So he was exploring the boundaries of his physical abilities, right? And physicality. How old was he?
He was about six or seven.
Now, did the ramifications of that injury cause him to birth a new desire or remove himself to anything else he might have been doing during that time?
It didn't slow him down.
Did he miss anything? Did he not sign up for Little League or not go on a trip with friends or anything like that?
No.
Okay. So what was the real problem then? Why was it a bad thing? Because it was painful?
I mean, he liked the cast and he liked all that stuff. So
yeah. It was just an experience.
All right. So they can now have things just as experiences.
Possibly. Isn't it nice that he did this at age 7 and going from tree to tree and landing on the lawn rather than being 17 and jumping from building to building and landing on the pavement? So you don't know what might have happened had he not had this thing. Had he not had this experience, which now caused him to be a slightly more cautious and create a memory where he might bring up a rational fear. There's nothing wrong with rational fears. Right.
No, that's true. What about something then that's not as blatant then? Like maybe like...
Well, give us a real example.
A real example. Okay.
Of something in your life.
When Dylan was born, Trevor, the older one, who was like 2 years old at the time, broke out in a rash.
Yeah. So it was simply resistance to a new baby coming into life.
All right.
You know, he was the baby, and now he's not going to be the baby anymore.
So they do, at that young age, they do feel those things, I guess, is what I'm asking.
In the womb, they feel those things.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not as obvious.
Can I ask? Can I ask about a specific example that feels less obvious to me? My youngest has a sty, and he's had this sty. I might have even asked you about it before. He's had, I mean, it was recurring styes for a while, and now it's been the same one. And he keeps, like, every few weeks gets hit in the eye and busted open again. And it's, I don't know, I've started allowing it and, like, not forcing him to do the warm compresses if he's really resistant to it. Just, you know, I don't know. So what is that?
So here's a child who's obviously coming from a pretty controlled environment when you were married and living together with your ex.
Right.
Now, that environment was really controlled, right? Pretty much every moment of his life was controlled. And then he's going into this new environment where it's switching back from pure control to a lot of allowing and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so what he sees in one environment is different than what he sees in another environment.
Huh.
And so he's processing this idea. And this is what he chose to come for.
Right.
He came to see the vast difference between an environment of fear and an environment of love. Because in this environment of controlling, he might tend to perceive that as love. And in this environment of allowing, he might tend to perceive that as lack of love or lack of caring.
Right.
Right. So your inspiration not to give him a cold compress, right? So he's resisting this cold compress because it's a sign of you caring, right? But here's this environment where there's a perceived lack of caring because you're allowing him to be who he is. You're allowing him so much more, right? And in this environment of controlling, he's perceiving that as caring because every moment is managed. Every action is judged, right? Every word is judged. And so he's sorting that out, and that's what he came for. So these these fears are manifesting as styes.
Right.
It could manifest as anything, but if it's manifesting in an eye, it tends to be what someone is seeing.
It's so interesting. It's given me a new perspective because when they first started several months ago, they would like alternate between eyes. And for the past month and a half, it's been all on the same eye. And there will start to be little like signs of one coming on the other eye, but then it goes away. So that's interesting.
Okay. So is it on the left eye or the right eye?
It is on his right eye.
Yeah. Do you know what that means?
I don't. I was going to look up like feminine, masculine. I don't know. Do you know what it means? Tell me.
Nope. We have no idea.
Well, what about Isabel? We were talking about this. Isabel finally got some antibiotics. What could there be a device? Can Kyla use a device to help him through this?
What? Only if you thought that the condition was wrong.
I do have a device that I have been using, which is chocolate chips in order to like bribe him to do the warm compress, but that's or like a cucumber or tea bags or whatever. But I've been focusing on just loving it because I realized that in the beginning I was really resistant to it because I subconsciously like believed that it was a reflection of me as a mom, you know, like here's this, my son walking around with this really obvious sign, you know, and I could perceive that other people perceive that I'm not taking care of it or that I'm not taking care of him. And so I've been just, reassuring myself that, like, I know that I'm a good mom. I know my son. I know me. Or I know my son as much as I can. I know me as much as I can. And I was inspired, like, we asked the doctor about it. And then that, you know, some fear came up from that. And then I was inspired to make an appointment with an ophthalmologist. But, like, it wasn't out of wanting to fix it necessarily. It just, I was inspired. I just happened to think to Google and then found this pediatric. And so it's in a couple of weeks and it is what it is. And so I can see why it's happening for me, you know, but I was interested in why it's happening for him. So thank you.
Well, what we would say is that you could explain to him that in this house, we love people by letting them be who they are, by accepting them as they are.
Yeah.
We allow you to be who you are, to make your own mistakes, to make your own decisions, to get upset or whatever. And in this house, that's how we express love.
Right.
And in your dad's house, he expresses love by managing your every move. You might have to come up with a new phrase for that.
Yeah.
But this is how we do it. And this is how, and you could not be more loved than you are in this house.
Hmm. That's interesting.
But it's a different style than your dad's house.
Right. I've had those conversations with my oldest, but I haven't had them as like clearly probably with my youngest. So maybe that's something to think about.
Yeah. And did your oldest ever have styes or physical issues?
He had a sty when he was, when we lived in Colorado, when things, yeah. So, yeah, he had one, but other than that, not many.
So, has he had any physical manifestation of the change in his environment? Has he shown any fear?
His has been more emotional. Physical.
Right. So, you can see that by him being emotional and processing at the emotion level.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have to have these physical manifestations
right.
because he gets it at that level. So at the first sign of a negative emotion, you can say that, well, there's a fear here. I'm going to express that fear through emotion or whatever and understand what it is. And maybe you helped during that time. And your other son may not have expressed the emotion. And so the emotion escalates into where it's full.
Hmm.
And then by helping him understand that this is based in a fear and here's what the fear is, then you can... Then you won't need the physical manifestation.
Right.
So it's the physical manifestation is always needed as it appears. And if the person is able to understand what the fear is, then the physical manifestation is no longer needed. And then the person can be inspired to a remedy or it might just go away on its own. 99% of your physical unwanted conditions go away on their own before you even realize they've arised.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People have cancer all the time that they don't know, and it goes away. Flares up and goes away.
Hmm.
Just don't happen to be at the doctor when it flares up. Because then you'll get a diagnosis that you do not want to get.
So just don't go to the doctor.
Exactly.
Only go to homeopaths.
Mm-hmm.
In England.
Yeah, Victoria.
Name Victoria.
I agree with that.
Excellent. Isabel.
Yes, Joshua.
Do you have any unwanted physical conditions?
Yes, Joshua. I was
excellent.
Going with a lot.
Aren't you lucky?
I was feeling so good right before this all hit me. And then I had a lot of pain for like 12 days. Today is my first day that I'm feeling better. Which is good because I was ready to turn to heroin. I just want to let you know.
So the inspiration to do heroin comes from a low emotional state of being and is not fully aligned with who you really are.
No, I knew. Yeah.
However, if you were enthusiastic and excited about the idea of trying heroin for the first time, then it would be an excellent experience. And we suggested if that's the case, if it comes from a place of love and excitement. So you're experiencing fear. Well, on your part, we would have to say that it has to do with your change in vibration from moving from one level to another, from activating something in your DNA that has been dormant, from you coming out of a cocoon and emerging as a butterfly.
Okay.
Other people experience this in all kinds of different ways. For you, you experience it through pain.
And why the teeth? Why the mouth? Just curious.
We could tell you, but you wouldn't be happy with the answer.
Okay.
How about speaking your truth?
Well, you are expressive. We would say that.
Yeah.
But no, it could be from anything. The teeth just happen to be the most noticeable specifically.
Okay.
So how did you process this pain? What did you think the first time you felt the pain?
Well, I have to tell you,
Had issues with your teeth before?
It kind of seemed out of the blue, to tell you the truth.
Right.
So, and then it was weird because it was both sides of the mouth. So
highly unusual, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like one tooth could hurt, but how could it hurt on both sides?
That's what I was thinking.
Right.
And then I was just like, you know, I remember the last time I had tooth pain and you said, Isabel, don't worry about it. And it was gone in 3 days. So I thought it would, you know, would be gone in 3 days, and it wasn't gone in 3 days.
Okay. So you first came up again, and then you thought it'll be gone in 3 days.
Yeah, it'll pass. It's temporary.
And then it didn't pass. And then what happened?
And then it didn't pass. And then I called the doctor, and then I got, because I'm like, well, maybe it really is an infection. And even though it's a device, I went on antibiotics and it did nothing.
Right.
And I went, wow, okay, so this is in my mind. I'm losing my mind because here I am. So then I'm like,
well, okay, what is your mind really?
Your mind, I guess, is the fear, right? Your fear, well, no, thoughts.
So, like, just think about your brain. If you're feeling pain, it's a electrical impulse from some part of your body where the pain is, right?
Right.
So all it is a energetic impulse.
So not that's why they kept on saying to me, it's just energy. It's just energy. Because I was getting that answer. Like, it's just energy. You're thinking it's bad energy. Yeah. I'm saying it's pain. Like, I'm labeling it as pain, but it's just energy. So I was trying to think of it as it's just energy. It's just energy. But sometimes it's really hard when it's really, really painful.
Yeah. But once you move through the pain and you get to the other side of that, see the benefit that it brought you to this new area, and that it's a clearing of all sorts of things and an opening of a new pathway. This sounds very esoteric, what we're saying here. But in order to visualize what we're saying here, imagine that you unlocked something new in your vibration, which unlocked something new in your DNA. Imagine the DNA is the culmination of all the lives you've ever lived, the memories and the resistance of all those lives. And as you move to another vibration, another stage, you have a physical readjustment.
Right.
Now, your age-old lifelong belief that pain signals to you that something's wrong with your body.
Right.
Makes sense, right? And so when you feel pain, you don't feel it expansion or moving into a new area. You say, there's something wrong. We got to fix this thing that's wrong. That's the logical conclusion that you would come up with. Right. But in this case, and in a lot of cases, it's just the unlocking or moving to a new vibration that unlocks something in you and moves you to a new vibrational level.
That makes sense because they kept on saying to me, "Well, it's old. It's old. Yeah. It's not just your life, your memory of your life today. It's society. It's old. It's old. It's okay. It's painful because it's so much."
Yeah, and I went, it's so much. Most people who go through little vibrational changes might have a hangnail.
Right.
Why does a hangnail happen? You know, why do you accidentally cut yourself?
Right, right, right.
All these sort of things happen that come up from this energetic change. And once you've processed it and moved through it, then you're at a new place.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So, John,
so happy now.
What's the difference in between that and resistance?
This is resistance. This is resistance to this change, resistance to the pain. So if you had no resistance to pain, the pain would be so less worse.
And I was trying.
Okay. Seriously, think about this. If you were held prisoner and if you were tied up and if you were fed a burrito with hot sauce on it, you would think that the hot sauce was so much more hot than it really is. But if you were having fun with your friends in a Mexican restaurant and had a burrito with hot sauce, you wouldn't think it was painful at all.
Right.
It would be fun. The littlest things make such a difference depending on your emotional state of being.
Yeah.
We've used this analogy before, but if you're feeling bad and feeling like everyone's looking at you, and you trip and fall, you're going to feel pain and you're going to think horrible things. But if you're having fun with your friends and you're all running around and you trip and fall, you're just going to get up. You're not even going to notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You might see this with your kids. If your kids are having fun and they trip and fall, when they're with their friends and having fun, they don't care. They just get right back up. But if they're in a bad mood and something happens and they bump their heads, they start crying hysterically. It all has to do with that perception, with that emotional state of being.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter either way. It's just that you can make it easier on yourself by looking at these things as the positive aspect, because they always are positive things.
Yeah, I kept on saying it's for me, it's for me, it's for me, it's for me. It's just fear is love, fear is love, fear is love. And
yeah, and that's
and
very
I could
helpful.
Get temporary relief, and I would call on my millions to help me. So I mean, I want to tell you guys, I mean, I had a lot of help and support, but it was a doozy.
Well, then in that case, there's nothing wrong with a little heroin. Just a little needle.
Why not an epidural? That's it. I'm getting an epidural.
Yeah, get an epidural. Take your mind off it. Yeah. Drink a little vodka.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, you can see how being silly puts you in the state of being that allows you to not take things so seriously.
Yeah.
And that's the state of being that you're in now. After going through all this pain and coming out the other side of it, you can sort of giggle and have fun and get back to that high emotional state of being and not be so worried as you were worried before.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gary gets ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for confirming. It's very nice. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, we've had the most fun we've ever had by far in the history of all time. But since all time is existing simultaneously, then all we can have is the most fun we've ever had. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.